Hello, my name is Charlie Moores, and you're about to listen to a shortcast with me and Dominic Dyer about the announcement today from the National Trust that they will no longer issue licences for so-called trail hunting on their land. A historic day, Dominic. The National Trust says it will no longer issue trail hunt licences almost a year after putting in a temporary ban. And a quote from their press release, "The Board of Trustees has carefully considered this issue. Its decision to issue no further licences for trail hunting is based on a wide range of considerations. These include, but are not limited to, a loss of trust and confidence in the MFHA, which governs trail hunting." That's the Masters of Foxhounds Association, of course. "The vote by National Trust members at our recent AGM," and we were both there for that, "the considerable resources needed to facilitate trail hunting, and the reputational risk of this activity continuing on our land." That's a very interesting statement.
Yeah, you know, I think it's firstly overdue, of course, and it was a difficult decision for the National Trust board, no doubt, but I don't think they had anywhere else to go. Because after the Mark Hankinson trial, after the huge majority of those who voted in favour of the motion to bring an end to trail hunting, after National Resources Wales decided they were going to ban it on their land, there's been a domino effect and pressure's been building every day. But I think the crucial element, as you say, is that they've no longer got confidence in the hunting industry effectively regulating and policing itself. And once that confidence disappears, I can't see how the government can allow trail hunting to continue, how any public landowners, the Forestry Commission, Ministry of Defence, DEFRA can allow it to continue, or big private owners like United Utilities and others. And I think actually it's credit to the National Trust for finally reaching the decision, even though they delayed and dithered, to be quite frank. I can't see why they couldn't have done this days after the AGM. But also huge credit to League Against Cool Sports, huge credit to the Hunt Sabs, and everyone that's been involved in what is a very traditional campaign. Because I think what I like to see about all of this is it's been a reconnection with people.
Yeah.
That you've gone out and you've actually connected with people and told them that through the democratic process, which they could do through being a National Trust member, they could make a difference. And often I think at the moment, as we've talked about a lot, that many of the NGOs, campaign organizations have just lost their bite and have sort of gone inwards. This has been a much more traditional way of doing things, and it's actually paid dividends. And I think that's what I hope sends a message to a lot of these NGOs and environmental organizations that have got significant resources but have lost their bite, that if you really want to make a difference, you've got to reconnect with people on the ground. And that's exactly what this campaign has done, and look what it's achieved.
Yeah, you're right. It has been something of an old-fashioned campaign, at least this end part of it, because it has been built on a great deal of original thinking, you know, like IFOR's Trail of Lies report. And I remember the original National Distrust campaign set up by Helen Bainan. I mean, I remember interviewing her back in 2015, was it? 2014. But, you know, we are here now and it is fantastic news.
It is. You know, there was some concern earlier on in the day, and I think it was a slightly cautious sort of, you know, welcome from the League Against Cruel Sports, because they thought that, you know, the National Trust might continue to allow hounds to be exercised on their land. But they have come back in the last few hours saying they're not going to do that either, which was within the motion that was actually tabled in Harrogate. So from what I can see, they've met all of the concerns raised in that motion that was voted through by that big majority, which I think is wonderful news.
Yeah, and talking of that majority at the AGM last month, 76,816 members voted to ban trail hunting and just 38,184 wanted to allow it. Now, the Countryside Alliance tried to spin the result by saying that only a small proportion of members were in favour of a ban, while failing to point out that it was 100% more than were in favour of continuing to allow it, which they had campaigned very hard for. Where did the Countryside Alliance, which was set up to repeal the hunting act, remember, go from here? Because they have failed miserably.
I think they're in real trouble. And I think they've brought this on themselves. As we spoke about many times before, they say they're a voice for the countryside, but they're not. They're not a voice for rural transport, not a voice for unemployment, affordable housing. They're a voice for a tiny minority that wants to exploit wildlife for shooting and so-called pleasure killing. And I don't think that's a sustainable position for them to hold. And once they started to lose their influence in that area, it all falls apart. So they will see declining income, declining support, declining membership. And I think what you will begin to see, I hope, is that an organization that truly wants to reflect issues within the countryside beginning to take up that space and say, actually, yeah, we do need a voice for the countryside, but it isn't this little tiny niche hunting organization that's actually done an awful lot of damage to the real voice of the countryside.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree with you. Out of interest, have you seen any mention of whether this is a permanent ban by the Trust? Because that is another issue that's been raised on social media. Though, given what the board said in the press release, and which I read out, you know, I repeated right at the beginning, I can't personally see them ever allowing it again.
I can't imagine that they would put themselves in a position where you'd reopen it. I think there are times when you think, listen, there's just no benefit in us doing this. Why would you, if there were a National Trust, want to go back to reopening another debate about this? Why would you want to go back to allowing this on your land when there's so little public support for it and such anger over it, when the government is coming under pressure to actually tighten the legislation that allows this anyway? I think the pressure will now move to George Eustace and the government. I think it's over as far as the National Trust is concerned. I think it will be quickly over now in terms of major public landowners and private landowners, because I think it's going to be untenable for them to continue to allow this practice to go on. And I think when the judge summed up in the Hankinson trial how little confidence he had in what Hankinson had to say in his defense, I think, again, it shone a light on what had been going on within the hunting industry for over 15 years since the Hunting Act came in, that they were widely abusing the law, that the government had not enforced the law, that the police, to a large degree, had not enforced the law, and it had been left to a few hunt sabs and monitors and organizations like League Against Cruel Sports to constantly try and scrutinize this under intimidation and threats on the ground and political indifference in Westminster. But I think time has caught up now with this debate, beginning to see the Labour Party wake up, which is good. You know, I'm going down to the University of Plymouth on the 10th of December.
Yeah,
Luke
yeah.
Pollard, the Shadow Environment Secretary, is finally now getting up and talking about it. But we've had to put a lot of pressure on Labour to say, listen, this was your piece of legislation. You brought it in, even though Tony Blair said he had mixed views on why he did it, looking back. But there was no question they did it because public opinion demanded it. And it's a hugely popular piece of legislation. So I think Labour now really has to come in hard and say, including from Starmer, because he says nothing about this, we need to hear from him, that actually, yeah, it's an important piece of legislation. It was implemented for the right reasons. We now want to see it enforced. And I think that will be a popular position for Labour as far as the voting public is concerned.
Yeah, Labour needs to step up, finally. And I'll also be very interested to see how the police react, because some forces have looked the other way when hunts have broken the law. But once a hugely respected landowner like the National Trust says, to quote, they have lost trust and confidence in hunting, that has to be reflected in the way police enforce the law. And especially if those hunts are going out with terrier men, which is a clear signal that they intend to break the law, as was explained in the Smokescreen webinars.
Yeah, I think the terrier men issue needs to be addressed, you know, alongside the issue around trail hunting, which allows obviously the illegal use of hounds to kill foxes. The whole issue of terrier men is a disgrace, and it's something that the government has just largely forgotten. You know, we've got the wildlife crime report out today. This has been getting quite a lot of publicity in the media, which is good. The Wildlife Countryside Link report that brings all the NGOs together. And, yeah. You know, no surprise, during lockdown, we saw an increase in the amount of wildlife crime going on in the countryside. You know, these terrier men are part of that. You know, they're there on these hunts, filling in badger sets, carrying other wildlife criminal activity right under the noses of the police, straight in the public glare. And it's an absolute disgrace. So how can the government say it's committed to fighting wildlife crime at home and abroad when actually it's allowing it to happen? And that the hunts that they're allowing to go on and do this are actually bringing these people into it. You know, I've had that discussion with ministers. We'll keep pushing it hard. But again, you know, we raised that when we met Eustace back in May. That has to be back on the table again now. You've got to stop trail hunting. That means you shut the loophole that allows it in the Hunting Act. But you've also got to make it completely impossible for the terrier men to operate in the way that they are. And the police do have a responsibility, and they have failed miserably to a degree. But now they'll be under pressure. And I would have thought a lot of chief constables, crime commissioners will say, actually, we've got a problem here. You know, clearly we have all these hunts, over 100 of them. Illegal activity is widespread. We've not been seen to be tackling it. The public has had enough. The pressure is coming on the politicians. What are we going to do? I would have thought in a lot of areas of the country now, senior police officers and crime commissioners would say, actually, I think we need to shut these hunts down. They're becoming a problem in terms of public safety on the highway. They're becoming a problem for illegal wildlife criminal activity. And it's clear now that we can't have any confidence that they're actually meeting the requirements of the legislation that they're being policed under, and that we are not maybe even got the resources to do a proper job to manage this. So the easiest thing would be to say, why do we have hunts at all? You know, so I hope the debate moves to that and actually says we need to see these hunts closed down, because there's no reason to have packs of hounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do we still need packs of hounds? We've got to get to grips with that. The hounds themselves are disgustingly treated. They're shot and abused and killed and beaten. We see that all the time. There's some more video footage I saw yesterday from a hunt sub group in the north of England showing hounds being beaten. So we know they're treated disgustingly. So there's an animal welfare issue here.
Yeah.
You know, they go all over roads and railways and into people's gardens, killing companion animals. It's out of control. It's dangerous. It's got to stop. It's got to stop.
Just the final thought then, Dominic, a lot of us, including yourself and obviously the league and Hunt SABs and everyone, has put an awful lot of pressure on the National Trust. We don't have to do that anymore. Where do you think the pressure should be put? On the government, on the police, or on other landowners? Or maybe all three?
I think it's a combination of on the Secretary of State, because the responsibility lies there, on other ministers, like, you know, Ben Wallace as Defence Secretary, who's responsible for what's happening on MOD land. And also on companies like, you know, United Utilities, about how they manage the large amounts of land that they have. I think, you know, you've got to keep the pressure on public, private landowners and on the government itself. And the opposition needs to step up to bring more support. And that's what we'll be talking about when we meet in Plymouth University on the 10th of December, because I think we're now in a very much stronger position than we were 12 months ago. And I know the League are writing to all the landowners. I know the League has a meeting, I understand, planned in the immediate future with the Secretary of State, George Eustace. So the pressure is coming at the political level. And I think MPs are probably really beginning to feel the pressure on this in their mailbags as well, as more and more people say, actually, we shouldn't allow this any longer. There aren't many MPs that will stick their head above the parapet and actually defend the hunts anymore. You know, that's changed significantly. Whereas 5 years ago, there were large numbers that would advocate for the Countryside Alliance. You know, some of them ended up in government who'd actually been senior players in the Countryside Alliance or political advisors to ministers. I think those days have come to an end. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see a replacement of the chief executive of the Countryside Alliance within the near future as well. I'm sure they'll try and change the deck chairs on the Titanic, but I don't think it will alter the direction of travel of the organisation, which is going down.
We have discussed that before. I would hate to see Tim Bonner go because he is so completely ineffectual. He
but all
useless.
Of this has happened on his watch. So, you know, whoever's in power will say on the board and the others, actually, you can't get away from this. You have failed. You failed on Hankinson. You failed on the National Trust. You're losing. You're losing ground on every one of these occasions. So, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles. I'd be surprised if he survives it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult to see how they can spin their way out of this one.
Absolutely.
So, even though we do still have to be careful, we still have to keep a watch on hunts. Hunting hasn't stopped as of this day, of course not. It is a historic day and it has been a long fought battle. And three cheers for everyone for sticking in there.
Absolutely.
Making this happen.
As I said, good campaigning, hard work, diligence, commitment, never letting go of the issue, never taking your foot off the accelerator. All of that worked. And I think, you know, we can all be very satisfied that at the end of the day, by working together and not giving up, we achieved the major objective. And let's hope now that we can push it to the higher political decision-making process to get this act implemented the way it should have been back in 2004. That's got to be the priority.
Yeah, those exemptions and loopholes must be removed and closed.
And thank you to you, because I know you've gone and recorded quite a lot of stuff on this, not just with OTL, but over the years you've been on this issue and you've, you know, kept with it through your work at the League as a trustee, through all you've been doing on podcasts and broadcasting. And I think it's all helped. So well done.
Yeah, oh, thanks, Dominic. Good to talk with you. Catch up with you soon.
Not at all.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to create a shortcast of your own, please get in touch. You can leave us a message at offtheleashpodcast.co.uk, on Twitter at OTL Podcasts, or on Instagram at OTL Pods. And if you'd like to hear more powerful audio supporting wildlife, animal rights, and the environment, we're on all major streaming platforms. Just look for Off the Leash Podcasts and subscribe for free.